Thank you, Jesus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Thank you. Remind me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, August 20th, 2023. Hallelujah. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by some very special and very anointed servant leaders of Spirit Alive in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, and of course, we have our dear friends from California, Lee and Terry Larson, in the house. And on behalf of all of us, we would just like to say good morning and welcome to this morning's service. We pray that you will hear something on this morning, hallelujah, that will not only uplift your spirit, but it will truly bless your soul. So won't you bow your hearts at this time with me, and we are going to open up this worship service in prayer. Oh, Most High, we come singing praises to your holy and righteous name. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to come together as a family and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the love and the unity that we are able to enjoy. For we believe, God, oh, what a good thing it is when the brethren gather together to give you praise. And, Lord, yeah, we just thank you for our listeners, Lord. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, they will hear something from the mighty man of God that will change their lives, that will help them on in their process of deliverance, of healing, of transformation. And, Lord, we pray that if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that today would be the day that they would come and, hallelujah, surrender themselves to you and make you their Lord and their Savior. So, Lord, yes, once again, I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless Mother Mitchell as she brings the reading. Bless Bishop Lester as he brings the word. Bless Pastor Vanessa as she prays, hallelujah, in a mighty way. Lord, we just come giving you all the honor and the glory and the praise for your people. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Religious church, wherever you are, I need you to put your hands on it like this. Come on. Yep. Everybody clap like this, like this. We want to see you. Yeah, no. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Just open the eyes of my heart. I wanna see you. Say, I wanna see you. Just open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. 'Cause I wanna see you.
That's our heart today.
I wanna see you.
Wherever you are, let's raise it together. Come on, take it.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see.
Come on, if you want to see him in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the chaos.
I want to see.
Come on, just ask him today.
Oh, 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 say open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I want to see it like you see.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want.
Shining in the light of your glory.
everybody clap, clap, clap your heart's desire, God. We just want you and only you. All over the world, let's sing it together. Say, open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
We want your perspective, God. Give us your perspective.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Oh, I want to see. For my family, I need to see. For my business, God, I need to see you. Come on. Say, open the eyes. Like never before, oh, I need to see you. Our prayer today is that you would open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I wanna see you. Stay right there. I wanna see you. Come on in your homes, tell them, I wanna see you. The hope of glory, I want to see you. Jehovah Jireh,
I want to see you.
Come on, talk to him.
I want to see you.
Say,
I want to see you.
You're what we want, oh God, and I want to see you. Say,
I want to see you.
Give us your eyes today, God. Give us your view today. Give us your perspective today. Help us to see through your lens today, oh God. Help us to see that everything is gonna be alright. And I wanna see you. I wanna. Oh God, I wanna see you. Lift those hands right here.
I wanna see you.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come forth, and she reads to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. Now, my brothers and sisters, I ask that you please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen, and good morning to everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or far you are. This morning's meditational reading is entitled, Pray Perfect Prayers in the Spirit, we'll be looking at Romans 8 and 27, and it reads, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Ooh. Wouldn't you like to pray effective prayers that are always in line with the will of God and that always hits the mark? Well, when you pray in the Spirit, you can. You see, when we pray in English or our known language and according to our limited understanding, we can pray amiss. Sometimes our head gets in the way and we find ourselves asking, "Isn't it selfish of me to pray like that? Or am I praying in line with God's will?" My friend, that is why God gives us the gift of praying in tongues. When we pray in tongues or in the Holy Spirit, we can never pray out of God's will because the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, we pray perfect prayers in line with God's will when we pray in tongues. And the Bible goes on to tell us that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. You can read about that in 1 John 5:14 and 15. Isn't it wonderful that God has put in you the Holy Spirit who prays perfectly? He knows the heart of God and precisely what you need. And he makes intercession for you because he loves you very much. The Holy Spirit is like our lawyer or legal counselor. He knows what belongs to you legally. He knows what your blood-bought rights are in Christ. Best of all, he knows exactly how to enforce them in your life. Beloved, when you pray in tongues, you allow the Holy Spirit to pray perfect prayers through you. He pleads your case before God. He knows when you have gone wrong and what the root of the problem is. He also has the wisdom, solution, and power to win your case. With the Holy Spirit on your side, you cannot but come out victorious. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Thoughts for the day? We pray perfect prayers in line with God's will when we pray in tongues. Amen and glory to God.
Question is, will I do with the will? living sacrifice. All I want to do is a little cry. I was asked this question, and the answer is yeah. Now the question is, when will Jesus return? I want you to know.
God, it is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time where we are so blessed and honored and privileged to come together as a family in unity and love, to stand in the gap for one another and for all of you, our brothers and sisters, all over this world. We pray, we go to the Lord. Hallelujah, fully armored, strategizing with him, asking him how to pray, what to do, so that we, hallelujah, will walk in the victory that he has already given us. So right now, I want you to know and understand that when we pray expecting, believing, and trusting that God will do exactly what he says that he will do. So come on, brothers and sisters, let's go to God in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come once again before your throne of grace, just thanking you for being the great I am. We thank you, Lord, and praise you that we can call you Abba, Father. Lord God, we thank you. Hallelujah. That only your children can call you that. So we stand this morning declaring and decreeing that we live, move, and have our very being in you. And Lord, again, we thank you for forgiveness of sin. Because if somebody just tuned in, Lord God, we don't want them to miss the opportunity to repent either. We don't want anything to separate any of us from you, oh God. And
yes,
Lord, we come this morning just thanking you. Hallelujah, for being our provider. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord God, for simply being our protector in the times of trouble. We thank you, Father God, that we know for ourselves that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. And, Lord, we just praise you this morning for your Holy Spirit. spirit that stands up in us, Lord God, even when we don't always have the courage to stand up, Lord God. But when we are weak, your strength is manifested through the power of your Holy Ghost. And we want to say thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we know for ourselves, Lord, that when we pray, you hear us. We thank you that we have an attentive Father. Hallelujah. A forgiving Father. An unconditional, loving kind of Father. We have a faithful Father. Hallelujah. You are the show up and show out kind of Father when the enemy comes against one of your children. So, Lord God, today we come in the name of Jesus just thanking you for all of those who are homeless that are going to receive, that are walking into homes. Lord God, we thank you for all of those who that are hungry, that are going to be fed today. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, for all of those that needed to be rescued will be rescued today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we're thanking you in advance for all of those that have been displaced and misplaced by hurricanes, tornadoes, and other natural disasters. Father God, I pray that your glory will show up in the midst and that people will come up and rise up, Lord, and still declare your goodness in the midst of it all, through it all, in spite of it all, Father God. I pray that souls will be won through you out of through every situation, God. I pray that salvation will be won, Lord God, through every through everything that we see that the enemy is counted for bad. Lord God, we know that you take it and you flip it and you turn it into our for our good. We learn from it. We grow from it. We get strength from it, oh God. We gain peace from it, oh God. We get joy from it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, today for those that are sick. But, Lord God, you're going to send someone to love on them, to minister to them, to bless them. Lord, we pray that you would send out, Lord God, your compassionate ministers to those that the enemy has tricked into being isolated. Lord, we pray that somebody that has been tricked into addiction, Lord God, will see your light in one of your people today, that they will see your love, your grace, your mercy, Father God. And maybe it will be the beginning of their healing. Lord, we pray for the governments of countries all over this world. We pray for peace, Lord, but we know that only you can bring about that kind of peace. And it's only through our faith, Lord God, that you can heal the land. So, Lord, we just want to thank you this morning. Thank you that we can come together, Lord. As Pastor Vanessa says, multicultural, multigenerational. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord God, that we come together as family. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father God, that we know deep down in our sanctified souls that we are truly, truly set free. We have moved from death to life because we do love our brethren, Lord God, and you put that kind of love down in us, oh God, and we are so grateful, Lord God. We're so grateful that we're not what we used to be. We're so grateful, Lord, that we don't think what we used to think. We just thank you, Lord, that you're moving us from glory to glory so that we might turn around and bless somebody else, and they can share that, and they can help move somebody else from glory to glory. Lord, all of this is being done to build your kingdom. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to bless every ministry that is represented here on this network. I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to bless the work of each and every servant leader's hands. And, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless all of those that cannot be here today, Lord God. We want to just thank you, Lord God, and ask that you cover them. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over those, Lord God, who are lost. I pray that they will receive your salvation on today, Lord, before it's too late. And I pray it all in your wonderful, mighty matchless name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
to God. It is now time for this morning's message. Hallelujah. And if this is your first time here joining us, you are truly about to be blessed, because this morning the word of God will be coming from our mighty man of God, Bishop Lester Carver. Hallelujah. Now, this man of God is truly a servant after God's own heart. He loves God's word and he loves God's people. So again, please retrieve your Bibles, get something to write with and to write on, and get ready to receive a rhema word from Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome, everyone, to this morning's service. I want to share with you a word from the Lord, and before we get started, I am going to open with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, God. I thank you for your presence in our life, God. Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you place within us. Father, I thank you for those who have not yet known your Son, Jesus Christ, to make him their master. I thank you for them who do not yet know that they can have their sins cleansed by his perfect, powerful blood. I thank you for those who do not know that they can be healed and delivered by the stripes and beatings that he took before he was crucified on the cross for their physical wholeness. God, I thank you for all that will hear this message tonight, that you this morning, that you deliver them, that you strengthen them, that you encourage them, that you restore them, and that you allow them to share what they hear today with others. I thank you for this today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, we heard some wonderful words today across the board about praying in the Spirit, about speaking in tongues in our heavenly prayer language, about praying God perfectly in doing so by tapping into that dimension of our spiritual reality that transcends anything that we are experiencing on this earth in our carnal existence. Today, what I'm going to be teaching about is how we tend to exist between two opinions. We exist between our care and concern for the things of this world, and we exist between our care and concern for the things of God and the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. And for many people, because we spent so much time in the world before we were saved, if we are not being led intentionally by spiritual leaders who are focused on the kingdom of God, focused on reconciling the world back to God, focused on achieving God's purpose of God insisting that he will dwell with his people and his people will dwell with him, if we are not being led by people of that mindset, that are leading people to Jesus Christ and the word of God and prayer and fellowship, what we're doing is we are being led into religion. We are being led into pleasing people, into serving money, into leaning to our own understanding, and into operating out of our own limited strength, talents, and abilities. And the message, the title for today's message is, how long will you limp between two opinions? How long will we straddle the fence between the things of the world and the things of the flesh and the things of God? And one of the things that leads us to a place of frustration and a place of a lack of fulfillment and power and joy in our life is that we fail to focus on the things of God. We fail to allow God's word to be the thing that guides and directs our mindset, our actions, our energy. And when we do this, what we are doing is leaning to our own understanding. We're looking at the circumstances. And one of the things that I have found, one of the things that I've heard that is a powerful analogy of this is someone who is on a ship. If you are on a ship on the ocean, the magnitude of the movement of the waves and the wind can make you seasick if you're looking at the waves and the wind. If you look at the horizon line, that line that separates the sky from the ocean, what you see is a constant straight line that gives you a sense of stability and bearing, and it prevents you from getting seasick. But if you take your eye off of that horizon line, which is constant, which is always present, that limit that has been set by God, that is always there, and you focus on what is immediately around you, the waves and the wind and the water, and you going up and down and up and down on the ocean, you will get seasick. Well, many of us in life, and unfortunately in the body of Christ, we know to look at the horizon. We know to look at Christ. We know to look at our salvation and all that God has achieved through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, for our deliverance so that we can live a more than abundant life now. But when you do God's things God's way sometimes, and then when you do God's things your way other times, what you're doing is you're looking at the horizon and then looking at the waves. And the reason you're trying to do both is because you don't trust God. You want that.
Amen.
You want to be able to tell your friends that you did what was prudent, what was reasonable, what was logical. And God says, I require you to trust me, not lean to your own understanding. I require you to trust me absolutely, in absolute faith, so that I can get glory from you. And so we are not to be looking at the waves, because God knows when we look at the waves and the wind, we're going to get sick and we're going to fall. Just like Peter when he was walking on the water and he took his eyes off of Christ and started looking at the wind and waves, and he fell into the water, and Christ still picked him up, right? He was operating in faith, and then he fell when he looked at the wind and the waves instead of looking at Christ. Well, with us, when we keep our eye on the horizon, when we keep our eye on Christ, we are getting glory for God by demonstrating that we trust him. And God says, you know what? I can keep you in that place. See, what I love about the Spirit Alive family is that we are concerned about transforming people by encouraging people to renew their mind to the Word of God, not to follow people, follow trends, not to follow what is popular today or what people believe can take you to the next level. We're focused on bringing you closer to God so that you can seek first the kingdom of God, which is his Word, and you can seek his righteousness. And then all the things that you need will be available to you. You can live a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. But first, spiritually, because without the Holy Spirit, there's not much we can do. Not that's going to last. What I want to do is I want to open today in the book of Matthew. And I want to look at Matthew. Chapter 6, and I'm going to look at verse 19, and it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust do destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, see, this is a key verse, because God is concerned about where your heart is going to be. And this is why he's telling us, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up your treasures in heaven. Allow your rewards to be those things you do for God because you're pleasing God, because you're serving God, because you're trusting God and because you're obeying God. And now, because you know that your reward is not only in heaven, but God is rewarding you openly now for your obedience to him, your heart is with him. Your heart is seated in the heavenlies with God, with your heavenly Father. That's where your focus is, right? But if you're not focused, look at what it says in verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. And this is so important because we don't want to get deceived. We don't want to get distracted. We don't want to get knocked off balance, because what happens is when we take our eye off of the horizon and we look at the waves and the wind and the bills and the political climate and the racial tension and all of the financial oppression and all of these things, all of the injustice, when we take our eye off of Christ and we look at what is in this world, we know what this world has to offer.
Amen.
Unbelief, disease, stress, drama, trauma, everything about this world is nothing but grief. But our joy is in the Lord, because he transcends all of that and gives us the ability to truly be free. So this is what God tells us to do. Not only does he tell us what we can't do, he says you cannot serve God and money. You got to choose. You got to make a decision. You got to decide who is God. Why? How long are you between two opinions? And I'll tell you, this idea of limping has become real to me as a 57-year-old man now. I'm experiencing, I need to up my exercise game a bit. And so I'm experiencing this limp and pain in my hip. And so when I'm walking, it feels like I'm carrying my leg sometimes just to make that next step. And the difference between limping and walking is when you're walking, it's one foot in front of the other, and you're just moving along effortlessly, it seems. But when you're limping, one leg is walking. The other leg is being carried.
Yes, I know about that.
I didn't understand that when I was a young man, and I'd be watching these older men.
Fun.
That sciatica walk. And now I know what I'm looking at.
Okay, you better take on the one now. Yes.
And I feel the pain.
He's talking so to the choir
pain.
Now.
To bring this back to the things of God is he tells us we don't have to go through life with that sciatica walk. We don't have to limp through life. We can literally stand on the word of God and not limp between two opinions, but we can walk and stay focused and stay steadfast and walk uprightly and confidently, knowing that we're standing on the promises of God. So he tells us what to do in verse 25. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And I need to stop there, because worry is it is the opposite of confidence and faith and trust in God. And see, when you're worrying, it's telling you that you need to focus on the word of God. You need to read, you need to study, and you need to learn about some of the things God has done in the past so that you can know what God is doing today. See, in the Old Testament, the foreign gods, Baal and Asherah, were of the sex and religion cult, and they were in competition for the attention and devotion of God's people, the children of Israel. And what you saw was how one of the most evil kings of that period, of the children of Israel, King Ahab, he was married to Jezebel, and he caused God's people to worship these foreign gods of Baal and Asherah, and they had all of their prophets, and they had the prophets of God killed, except for Elijah. And Elijah had to show up, and Elijah had to say, look, we're going to decide today whose God is God. You've been misleading God's people as their king. You set up this God, this false God of Baal in its own temple, and caused God's people to worship two gods at the same time. They worshiped Baal because Baal was the god of rain, the one who brought provision, the one who gave them stuff. And the other sects and religion cults were just things that catered to the things of the flesh, and Asherah and all of these other false gods that God's people were caused to worship. And Elijah showed up and he said, this day we're going to decide whose God is God. And this is after 3 years where Elijah basically called a drought upon the whole land. God told him, there's going to be a drought in the land. You're going to speak it into being, and it's not going to be undone until you speak it out of being. And before Elijah spoke it out of being, he called all of these prophets of Baal and their king to task. He said, today we're going to decide in front of God's people whose God is God. And they all had a challenge. The challenge was that the 450 prophets of Baal were going to set up an altar, and they were going to prepare a sacrifice, and they were going to call to their God to bring fire down upon that altar. And if their God brought fire on that altar, then that God would be declared the God of Israel, and people were going to follow that God. And in that scenario, Elijah would have been killed. But then the other challenge was that Elijah would set up an altar, and he would call to his God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he would bring down fire on the altar upon the set. And if his God brought down fire, then that would be the God of Israel. So Israel had to choose. And they said, this is a good thing. We want to really know. See, because the people up until that point were following the most evil king. They were following King Ahab, who was married to Jezebel, and they were just the worst. They were the absolute worst, but they caused God's people to err, and they led them into false worship. And you can't serve God and money. If you're leading people into prosperity and the things of this earth and the things of this life and all this other stuff, you're taking them away from the things of God. You're asking them to buy insurance and trust God too. You're asking them to spend all their time with the medical professionals and trust God too. When God says you can come to me and be healed now, today, you know, why are you going to waste all of your resources and all of your strength and all of your energy with these people who are practicing medicine on you when you can go straight to the source and be healed now, right? So we have to get serious about what we're doing. What Elijah did back then was huge, because the people said, this is a good thing. And so these 450 prophets of Baal, they went ahead, they set up their altar, they put the sacrifice on it. One day, he said, because there are more of you than me, y'all can go first. And they were running around the altar. They were cutting themselves. They were screaming and shouting. And some of them were jumping on the altar themselves in a way that really was proclaiming their willingness to die for their God. And so it was a part of their practice. And then when nothing started happening, because they started in the morning around noon, Elijah started mocking them. He said, hey, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's using the facilities. Maybe maybe he's taking a walk. Maybe he can't hear you, right? Maybe he's deaf. And so, God speaks of these idols that men create of money and wood and gold and all these things. And he's like, your gods are deaf, dumb, mute, and blind, and the people who follow them are deaf, dumb, mute, and blind also spiritually. And so after they fail to bring down fire from their god, then Elijah has a chance to set up his altar, and he sets the altar up. And not only does he set the altar up, he builds the altar, he puts the sacrifice on there with the wood, then he digs a trench around it. And then he pours water on top of something that he intends to burn, which is the exact opposite of what you would expect. He does this three separate times, and he pours water on it, so much water that it fills up the trench that he put around it. And then he put 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel around the sacrifice, around this altar. And then he calls to God. He speaks to God and calls down fire from heaven. And the fire not only consumed the sacrifice and the wood, it consumed the stone. It consumed the water that was over the sacrifice. And after this happened, this is a supernatural thing. It had to be the intensity of a laser, if you can consider that, coming from heaven because it consumed the stones. And what was fascinating about this is that afterward, the people bowed down and they said, the God of Elijah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is God. See, God showed up and showed himself to his people so that they no longer had to limp between two opinions. They no longer had to guess whether God was going to show up or not and display his power, because he did. And the outcome was that Elijah was able to tell the people, go grab those 450 false prophets of Baal, and they brought them down, and he slit their throats. That was used in that whole thing. We no longer have to leap between two gods. God tells us what to do so that we can be in his presence. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 6. It says, so why do you worry about saving? Consider the lilies of the field, how they neither spin nor toil. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? See, this comes back to faith. It comes back to us deciding that we are in agreement with what God says in his word. So he says to us in verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So God is telling us to focus. He's telling us to focus on today's concerns, not worry about tomorrow or worry about or fret about the things that happened yesterday that you couldn't possibly change if you wanted to. God is telling us to trust him and go the distance with him, because his word is never going to fail. His word is never going to fall. His word is always going to do the things that he has ordained his word is going to do. So I want to go to another passage of scripture that I think is really going to bless you, really going to encourage you. And it's in the book of Romans chapter 1. And if you could go to the book of Romans chapter 1, I want to look at the first portion of chapter 1 in Romans real quick. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Scripture, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and created to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. By the resurrection from the dead, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called, are the called of Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're called, and we are called to be the saints, to be the sons of God. We are called to a place of favor. But look at what it says in verse 16 and 17 to us. It says that the just shall live by faith. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. We would be considered among the Greeks, among the Gentiles. So it was to the Jews first and also to the Greeks, everyone who believes. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, we have to understand that it is our faith that allows us to demonstrate that we are just. When we are seeking the righteousness of God, it is revealed to us from faith to faith. See, the faith that we had yesterday was to fulfill the assignment that God had us to fulfill yesterday. But today's assignment is always greater than what we had or what we were asked to do yesterday. God is preparing us always for something greater so that he can reveal himself not just to us, but to others in a greater way. And that's why we don't want to waver between two opinions. That's why we don't want to lean to our understanding sometimes and then trust in God other times. We want to learn to always trust God. We don't want to please people sometimes and then please God sometimes. We want to learn to please God at all times. And so we don't want to be trapped where we are leaning to our own understanding sometimes and then trusting God sometimes. God says, trust me at all times so that you can get great glory from me. And then the other thing is we don't want to be leaning to our own natural strengths, talents, and abilities sometimes, and then leaning on the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit at other times. We want to always be leaning on the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit at all times, because what God requires us to do is always what goes beyond our ability to do without the Holy Spirit. See, if we didn't need the power of the Holy Spirit, God never would have given it to us in the first place. So look at what God says. He says, for in the righteousness of God, it says, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed to us from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. We have to get to the point where we understand that, hey, wait, this salvation is real. This power is real. Our position is real. And so we're not going to limp between two opinions. As a matter of fact, we're going to call down the power of God with what we speak. And what we speak is going to be the word of God, because only the word of God can cleanse people from sin. Only the word of God can transform people's life. When we see, say, be transformed, we want you to be transformed so you're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to unbelief. You're no longer a slave to doubt, worry, and fear. But you're free, free to serve God, free to please God, free to trust God, and free to obey God. And when you're doing this, you're confident in how you walk. You don't believe you have a lottery ticket to possibly go to heaven someday, maybe.
Come on.
God hasn't left this up to you. You were called. You were called of God to be his child. And so look at what it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. See, we're not to be weary. We're not to faint in our mind. We're to look at the example of Jesus Christ who looked at, he kept his eye on the prize. He kept his eye on the horizon. And you can read when he was going through. He was as tempted as any of us would have been when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane to ask God, if there's any way to remove this cup from me, please. He didn't want to die and beat and be nailed and spit upon and all these things that happened to him. It was not just, but it was necessary. It was required. And he is the author and finisher of our faith. He didn't do that for nothing. He did it because he knew that it was going to accomplish God's end. It was going to fulfill God's purpose. And people say, oh, what's God's end? What's God's purpose? What's the meaning of life? God's end and his purpose and the meaning of life is that God will dwell with his people and his people will dwell with him in eternity. That's what we're doing here. We're reconciling the world back to God so that they can learn to dwell with him now in preparation for truly dwelling with him in eternity after all sin and all disease and all sickness has been put away. In the
anonymity.
And the beasts are cast into the lake of fire with all of those who follow them, right? After all of that stuff is done away with, we are going to be living with our Heavenly Father in his presence in total peace. And so we are on a journey. And see, we might leave things undone, but Jesus Christ does not leave anything undone. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He was trustworthy and trusted by his Father, God Almighty, to get the job done, and he obeyed his Father in all things. So God exalted his name above all the other names of the earth and said, at the name of Jesus, every knee on earth, in heaven, and under the earth will bow so that he can get glory, so that God can get glory. And he causes all to submit to the authority of the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so those of us who understand that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, we share in the joy that he asks us to share in when he says, you know what, I need you to go the extra mile. I need you to turn the other cheek. I need you to love those who hate you. I need you to bless those who spitefully I need you to bless those who curse you. I need you to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You are to go to the next level. So look at what those who don't do what God is requiring end up doing. And I don't want to end here, but we have to go here. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 1. Verses 18 through, we're going to read this just so you get it, right? It says, God's wrath on unrighteousness, right? So if we're seeking first the righteousness of God and we're seeking first the kingdom of God, then we also have to know what unrighteousness looks like and what God feels about this. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. See, those who suppress the truth of God's word in unrighteousness have come against the things of God. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. See, they created idols of the creation of God that was really made to demonstrate God's presence in the earth. See, God is invisible, but when we look at all that God has created, we can only marvel at the things that God created. And what this is saying is that these people, they became fools in their own wisdom and took the things that God created and turned them into idols and started worshiping what God created instead of worshiping the God that created them. So look at what it says in verse 24. It says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so what this is saying Amen. Is that they exalted and worshiped themselves to such an extent that they idolized themselves and bowed down to what was most like them. And so God says, you know what? I'll let you do that. You can turn yourself into a god if you want, but this is going to be the outcome. Look at verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Wives also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And see, this is what happened. They idolized themselves to such an extent that they sought what was most like them. So the men are seeking other men to be with, and the women were seeking other women to be with because they were idolizing themselves to such an extent that only that which was most like them was acceptable to them. And this caused them to go against their nature. And God says, you know what? You want to go ahead and turn the creature into an idol and worship the creature rather than the creator? This is what you're going to do to yourself. And this is what they did. And so now it says, God gave them up to vile passions. And that is the penalty for their idolatry. But look at what it says in verse 28. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to do the same, but also approve of those who practice them, right? So those who condone that behavior and those who do those unrighteous things are in the same category. They have set themselves against God. So we don't have to dwell between two opinions of whether we're going to do God's things God's way or man's things man's way. We are going to choose to walk in the things of God. And I'll tell you, knowing how uncomfortable it is to limp in pain, God says you can be healed now. You can be delivered now. Yeah. You can focus on the now and not be seasick all the way through life because you're worrying about everything.
Come on.
Because you're trying. Well, you know what? If God can't protect you, you can't be protected. I don't care how bad things get or how much resources you think you have or how many alliances and powerful friends you think you have or where you happen to live. If you are not trusting in God, you are at risk, and you're going to experience all of the horror and terror and stress and disappointment that comes with ignoring God. When God says, I put myself right here, and you turn what I made into an idol. You turn all this that was meant to bless you into an obstacle between you and I that prevents you from being able to come to me, because you were concerned about making yourself into an idol. And see, one of the things we see in the Old Testament is the people that God blessed the most were the people who set themselves against God. Think of this. Adam had been given everything, the best of everything, meaning of everything. He was not meant to submit. He was meant to have dominion. He was created to have dominion. And yet, because it wasn't enough, because he had to see what else was out there, he decided to settle for less. And we see what less looks like today, because we've been living in sin for 4,000 of the past 6,000 years. And now, the past 2,000, we have access to the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, which means we don't have to settle at all now. If people are settling, people are two opinions, they're deciding to limp when they could be walking and running. And see, that's the thing. If you really go back to that example that I was speaking of earlier with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, and take a look at that, at the end of this, you see Elijah running, outrunning chariots, doing the things of God through the power of God. And we want to get to that point where we run with God, where we walk with God, where we are operating in absolute authority so that others can learn that they don't have to be caught between two opinions, trying to trust the word and trust in your insurance company or your bank account or your job, whatever it is, your education, whatever it is you think is giving you a degree of success or comfort. If you're not trusting in God, you're making a mistake. If you're not trusting in the word of God, you don't know what you're doing. And we are offering you the ability to come into the more than abundant life, where you can first be set free spiritually and then be set free mentally by renewing your mind to God with God's word, then be set free emotionally by literally taking on those things, meditating on the word of God and doing what you know by renewing your mind to the word of God, so that now you can live a more than abundant life physically and be healed now, so that you can ultimately live a more than abundant life financially and stop letting the tail wag the dog. Stop worshiping. Stop. You cannot be in two places. Where your treasure is, those things that you value, is where your heart's going to be. And that's what God is concerned about. He says, look, is your heart with me? Is your heart on me? Or are you distracted from those things that would keep you away from me? Have you allowed yourself because you have elevated those things that were meant to bless you? Are you allowing your attention and devotion to me to be stolen by things that you think give you more power and control of your life and allow you to do this without me? I just want to encourage you to be transformed by renewing your mind to the word of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, which is his word, and seek his righteousness. And do not be caught limping between two opinions. Focus. Look at what Jesus Christ fulfilled at Calvary through his death, burial, and resurrection that made the power of the Holy Spirit available to you. And do not allow yourself to become seasick by looking at the circumstances of life. We are not circumstance conditioned. We are transformed by renewing our mind to the word of God, as it says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Transformed by renewing our mind to the word of God so that we are no longer conformed to this world. We are no longer circumstance conditioned. We are not no longer looking at the waves and the wind. We're looking at Christ. We're following our master. We know that this thing has already been won, and we are about the business of leading others to this same salvation and the same hope in the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the same joy that we walk in to share in the sufferings of Christ as well as sharing in the rewards of Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth today, God. I thank you for the awesome privilege that we have to serve you, please you, to trust you, to obey you. God, I thank you for you allowing us to focus on the promises in your word, to look at the things that you have done in the past, to look at the things that you are doing presently in our life, and to look at the things that you have declared in your word that you are going to do, that your people will dwell with you and you will dwell with your people in eternity. I thank you for the great opportunity and privilege that we have to make your son Jesus Christ our master so that we can walk and live a more than abundant life spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen and glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
At this time, we are going to, hallelujah, you have heard, or we have heard a word on this morning. Thank you, Bishop. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Right now, we are going to allow you a moment to prepare your hearts to receive the Lord Jesus, because we don't like to rush anyone into anything. But in the meantime and in between time, we're going to ask our pastor, Pastor Vanessa Carver, to come into the room and to seal this message with prayer, hallelujah. That will be followed by Minister Tina leading you in the invitation. So at this time, we're just going to ask that Pastor Vanessa come on in and once again pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, today for Bishop Carver and this message about the stand that we should take as it pertains to our witness and what you have already fortified. I pray, Lord, today that you fill him and strengthen him. And I thank you, Lord, today that every word that was spoken that was received will be fruitful in the hearts of the people. But I pray also, too, today, Lord, that we get courageous. We become convicted. It becomes deeper in our conviction as we begin to study the word, not just to know it, but to do it and know we're going to be challenged and know that our witness in itself is not always going to be welcomed. But I just thank you, Lord, today that we don't have to stand in between. We don't have to mix up and fuse the worldly ideology with the word. But I thank you, Lord, today that we stand together, because I know that when we're united, we'll strengthen each other. And I pray today that that's what I believe you're saying is the unity and the level of the working of the word on our own hearts will fortify us and strengthen us because of the persecution that many parts of the world, because this is a global network, they're already experiencing persecution and have been experiencing persecution for a long time. But maybe stateside, we're not dealing with that as much. We're dealing with antichrist type of spirits in different ways. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, today that we just make a decision to stand with you and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, today for this word, that it will be fruitful and people will be blessed by what they heard and encouraged. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Minister Tina, if you would be so kind as to come in and lead those who want to give their life, their hearts, their all in all to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you can come forward at this time, sweetheart.
Praise God, praise God. What a beautiful message. Lord Jesus, I come to you in prayer asking for forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross at Calvary that I might be forgiven and have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I ask you right now, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and will worship you all the days of my life, Heavenly Father. Your word is true. I confess with my mouth that I am born again and cleansed with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Saints, if you said that little prayer with me, You've just been saved. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God says the angels in heaven rejoice when just
one
comes to Jesus. Just one. So, Father God, we come again just saying we thank you for the one. We thank you for the one, hallelujah, in Texas, for the one in Florida, for the one in the UK, for the one in Brazil, for the one in China. Lord God, we thank you for those ones all over the world. We praise you, Lord God, for the opportunity to stand together in love and unity, Lord, and make a difference for your kingdom because we are operating, Lord, by your power. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your wondrous and mighty works that you are doing so that you might be glorified. Lord, we pray right now that you will bless each and every person listening to be connected to a loving, Christ-centered, hallelujah, body of believers that truly are interested in discipleship. They are disciples that are making disciples. They want everyone to know of your goodness. They want everyone to walk in your ways. They want everyone to experience your many blessings, Father God, because there's room at your table for all of us. None of us are denied because you receive another. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you are the mighty God, the El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. So, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that the bodies of believers, Lord God, will come to bow down and to live for you and not want to serve man, but to truly serve you in a way that we will be effective for your people and for your kingdom. So, Lord, I just thank you for what all we have heard. I thank you, Lord God, and I continue to pray for the servant leaders here at Spirit Alive. My Lord God, I lift up Apostle Zeta to you this morning. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you, Jehovah Rapha, would just lay your holy hand on her, Lord God. I lift up Evangelist Michelle, Lord. I pray that you would also touch her and Mother Mitchell. Lord, any of us among us who need a healing, Lord God, whether it be Anita or it be Linda, whether it be Patricia, Lord God, or whether it be Lee or Terry or Lord, whoever it may be around the world, we know that you are able. You can heal us in mind, body, and spirit. Lord God, we just pray that you just continue to stand with us throughout this week. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would just have your will be done in our lives. And as Pastor Vanessa has prayed, we pray that we will be courageous. We will be bold. We will the scripture, we are not ashamed of the gospel, will not just be a cliche, but it will truly be our mantra, Father God. So I just thank you in the name of Jesus, and I pray it all in his holy and righteous name. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask Bishop Lester to come back in and have a word for our brothers, because here at Spirit Alive, it is important to us for our brothers, our men, to be in their rightful place. We want God's order to be lived out in our lives, and he does have an order. So, Bishop Lester, would you please come back forward with your word for the men? Thank you.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. The word for the men today is to be a bondservant for Christ and to understand the privilege in that calling to be a bondservant for Christ. The word for bondservant sounds like slave. In the Greek, it means doulos. And what I want to look at specifically is what it says here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 42, where Jesus speaks to his disciples. In verse 42, it says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be the first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" See, Jesus Christ's example and giving his life as a payment for all of us was an example of his level of service. One of the last things he did before he was crucified was to wash the feet of his disciples as an example of how we are to lead and serve one another. And he exhorted his disciples to follow his example, and as he washed their feet, they were encouraged to wash others' feet. So as we serve our households as the head of our families, do not hesitate to wash your wife's feet, to wash your mother and father's feet, to wash your children's feet, to serve as the leader of your house by example, so that you are the servant of all, knowing that you're pleasing God in that, you're serving God in that, you're trusting God in that, you're obeying God in that, and God is going to bless you and reward you openly now and in eternity. That is the word for the men today. Thank you, Apostle.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And glory to God. What a time we've had praising God here on today. Hallelujah. We just pray that, you, again, that you heard something that blessed your spirit and uplifted your soul. And we also pray that you will continue to walk with us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, you are cordially invited to join myself and the anointed servant leaders of Spirit Alive tomorrow in the war room, where we will be strategizing and interceding on behalf of families. So, you know, if you you are more than welcome to come out and stand with us and pray and or touch and agree, however the Lord leads you. And then on Tuesday, you can hear Bishop Lester Carver for his Tuesday night teaching. This Wednesday, you will be able to listen to Apostle Zeta Flowers for All Nation Bible Study. Then on Thursday, you can hear Pastor Vanessa Carver, hallelujah, once again for her part two of her series on mental health on Wounded No More. Then the mighty man of God comes back in on Friday and takes the mic, hallelujah, for Every Man Standing, and Minister Adam Tuggle is on Saturday. So on behalf of all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, we're so glad that you joined us here today. We're so glad, hallelujah, that God is just pulling you here and drawing you here. I'm seeing phone numbers week after week after week. I've seen people in the chat rooms week after week after week. So we're just glorifying God, and we're so grateful to God for each and every one of you. So if there be nothing else, now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Until we meet again, we just pray that you have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and it is our fervent prayer from our household to your household that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go with God and continue to have a beautiful and blessed day. For those of you that are in the sanctuary, all of your mics are unmuted. I just want to say I love you. I see you, Apostle Zeta. We pray that you feel better. Thank you, everyone. You're dismissed. Amen. Have a blessed day. I love
thank
you.
You.
God bless
thank you.
You.
Bishop Carver.
Thank
God bless
you.
You.
Thank you, Bishop.
You.
That was
full
awesome.
Message, Bishop.
Love
yes,
you, everybody.
Message.
God bless you. God bless you.
Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you.